Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Heck and heckity. Let me quote scholar Stephen Davis to end, which summarizes all that I've said and most of what I'll be saying in the future. Here it goes. Perhaps you are one of those remarkable people who experience an overpowering realization of the divinity of existence. You suddenly know that everything is divine and that within you lies an ocean of God. Will you know this all of the time and every day? No. You will crest and fall and submerge again into the mundane. The realization of divinity as the be-all and end-all, as the substance of your very self, that within which you live and move and have your being, does not dominate every day, although you wish it would. The ordinary world of aches and pains and approaching death, of trouble, temptation, sin, stress, and loss seems to rule almost all the time. And yet, sometimes you can seize what you seek and see glory everywhere and know yourself to be divine.
My father says that almost the whole world is asleep. Everybody you know, everybody you see, everybody you talk to. He says that only a few people are awake, and they live in a state of constant, total amazement.
If you are one of those people, you are one of the Gnostics. You know what you truly are, that you are God, just as everyone else is. But, as a Gnostic, your existence in this ordinary and difficult world puzzles you. You ask, how did I come to be here? You don't seem to belong here. You belong in a world, a realm of divinity. And it certainly seems that the divine realm is not everyday reality. But if, in full reality, everything that exists is God, why don't we always know this? Why do some people never even think it possible to be what, in their depths, they really are? Why don't we know who we are? How did we come to forget? What holds us back from perpetual realization of our divinity? And what traps so many people in denying that their own divinity is even conceivable? These are the Gnostics' questions.
What is real? How do you define real?
Gnostics know that God is all, and that they themselves are God. They experience this knowledge, this realization, and know that everyone else could share their experience. But they are continually thrown back into the seemingly hard material reality that tells them they are merely flawed humans, kin to apes, doomed to die, ruled by a judgmental creator God who often does not know a fondness for people at all.
I'll say bone cancer in children? What's that about? How dare you? How dare you create a world in which there is such misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain?
Gnostics rebel against their churches and their priests, their Bible-based pastors, whose obsession with God's supposed desire to control behavior seems not to be what true religion is about. To Gnostics, true religion, elite spirituality, is a realization of the divinity of every person, an experience of ascent to the divine homeland. It is a knowledge of the way we once were as God, and of the process by which God came to be self-forgetful as to become us, mere human beings, under the control of another lesser God.
I am the architect. I created the Matrix. I've been waiting for you.
Gnosticism is a religion of rebels, creative thinkers whose works were systematically destroyed by Orthodox Christianity. They lived in the home of heresy, for they were the source of self-assertiveness against the episcopal demand for sameness. They persisted in the shadows, in certain Sufi sects, in the Christian Cathar movement, and perhaps even among the Knights Templar and the Rosicrucian orders.
In other words, we're talking about an underground, which did exist in a different way during the Dark Ages. And the purpose of this underground is to find out how to preserve the light, life, the culture, how to keep things living.
Their speech resounds today in the Nag Hammadi Library, read today by spiritual seekers throughout the world. Their central message is that God fell and became us, and how, through knowing that story, we can return to glory and be absorbed again into God.
In the Thomas Gospel, Jesus says, "He who drinks from my mouth will become as I am, and I shall be he." Wow. And we are all to do that. To wake up to our Jesus within us. This is blasphemy in the normal way of thinking in Christianity, but it's the very essence of Gnosticism and of the Thomas Gospel.
And heaven, that desired goal of most people, is within us.
All the gods, all the heavens, all the worlds are within us.
Boom. Heresy shouldn't be this much fun, but it is. It just is, especially when you arrive at the virtual Alexandria for Aeon Byte. Welcome, you spiritual entrepreneurs, you veterans of a thousand psychic wars, and you of the broken places. And for you who are watching on video, did video kill the podcast star? This is a promo for the Virtual Alexandria Academy, and I put it up because there is a promo. Right now, through January 1st, get 30% off the Virtual Alexandria Academy with the code SOLSTICE. That's it, SOLSTICE. It's on the show notes, and you'll get the entire Virtual Alexandria Academy, a full course on Gnosticism, and it does include the three Astrognosis presentations, so it's a total of like 40 hours of high-quality Gnostic studies. So check it out. Yes, the promo is SOLSTICE. And my name is Miguel Connor. I am your Pompidus of Gnosis, that madman across the waters of creation. And I'm very excited today to be joined by Elistan Snowley. I call him Stefan. He is a friend, an individual who I've interacted a lot, enjoyed hanging out with him at the last Astrognosis conference, and it was just very cool. Stefan, thank you very much for coming on, finally.
Yeah, hello, Miguel. Yeah, thanks for the invitation, and yeah, I'm excited to talk about human design here today. Yes, I'm really surprised that nobody did as of yet. So let's see.
It is indeed. I mean, I heard about it from my wife, loves it. And she told me maybe 6 months to a year. But my attitude is like, oh my God, I can't take another esoteric system. I'm overloaded, you know, as you are with things. But she's found it very rewarding and fascinating. And with us too, we've got Graham Pong. Graham, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, Miguel. I'm looking forward to designing some better humans, because when I look around, I don't see a lot of them out there. And hopefully we can actually design some better candidates too. Tag.
Yeah. Oh man, you're looking for miracles that even the one
can't even do. And but maybe the $6 million man will come around eventually.
Shoot for the stars and settle for the moon. Yep.
Indeed, indeed. So awesome. I see a good crowd already appearing. And as always, if you have any questions for Stefan or complaints against Graham or myself, send them on a super chat. And of course, please support this heresy in any way you can. Like, subscribe. I take join the Patreon, one-time donations, and so forth. Let's keep the lights of the Pleroma on as we go through the holiday season slog, if you would, and some great shows coming out in December. This Friday, David Block will join us. It will be not a Black Friday, it will be a Block Friday, and he will be doing a decode of 2001 A Space Odyssey, so you don't want to miss that on Friday. Other than that, I think some more housekeeping later on, but I think let's get started. Let's get down to business. Well, Stefan, before we get down to business, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you became a heretic.
Heretic, as is. Actually, the gateway for me was first science. So basically, I studied economics and I became interested in astronomy and in physics pretty early in my life. And the interest in the esoterics developed in my 20s. It was this classic Dark Night of the Soul stuff, right? So, because nobody in my family has this deep connection to esoterica or religion or whatever, at least if I don't go far back in my ancestry. And yeah, alone the term heretic is so interesting, right? Because if we talk about human design, you will see that the heretic is one of the archetypes in human design. Mm-hmm. Human design is a personality typing system, like Myers-Briggs or whatever, but it's most close to astrology. So I also started off with astrology. I was an astrologer since my mid-20s when I was had read enough, because I'm a guy who needs to read enough to have a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't feel like I can help anyone. So I need a foundation for my heresy. And so I did 6 or 7 years of astrology, and then human design came to me. And at first I was really resistant, yeah, because all these esoteric systems are a heresy in and of itself. And you know that the most interesting systems are those where you feel a deep resistance, mm-hmm. where something tells you, hey, no, I've already gotten the truth, or at least the right system for me, which was Western astrology. And I didn't want to know of anything else on you. Yeah? But the experience gave me so much serendipity, synchronicities, and so much, gifts and confirmation, that I had to go on this way, yeah? So to dive deep into this heresy. So basically, what is a heretic anyway? I think hereticism has much to do with individualism, mm-hmm. much to do with wanting to understand this life. And also, and this is why this heretic type in human design is so interesting, or how design describes the heretic. Both you and me are heretics. I have done your design, yeah? We just secret because it's very personal, yeah? But what the heretic has to do, it's basically some kind of teacher, or if you want to have it negatively connotated, a guru. But you have to be careful because, you know, as a heretic, in all ages, you get burned at the stake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Mine says, if you're a heretic, be very careful. Yeah, act like some kind of Freemason or what will you. Act like somebody who has the right timing for his heresy. But after he has spoken to the right people, then go back up to your mountain. Because it's always dangerous to be a heretic. Yeah. And I think this is what this game of life is about. Yeah. The last book I have read, it was Seven Games of Life by Richard Smalley. Great guy, met him at the conference.
Yeah.
And he also uses this metaphor, which has become so common. This metaphor of video games, basically. Like seeing life as this game, as the simulation. And I think human design basically is the best system like astrology to describe the Maya. What is the Maya? How does the system work here? Yeah. And in this video game, there are rules. And if you're a heretic, one of the rules is, hey, better be careful. If you speak at the wrong time to the wrong people, you might get burned at the stake. Yeah. And some people, they don't want to accept. They don't want to have any limits. They just want to speak their truth all the time. Yeah. We might have done that in past lives, but it led to a kind of certain result, right? So we have become more careful. Occultists, whatever. So this is what I can say about heresy.
And that's well said indeed. Yes, I know the term heretic started out as school of thought. I think Josephus talks about the heresy of the Pharisee surgeons. In other words, it's a very niche school of thought. Then later with Christianity, it became like, oh, the Gnostics are a heresy. They're this niche school of thought. But it quickly became a negative thing because it means, you know, away from the norm, very niche, very, and it became a pejorative term. And here we are. And I like what you said. It's what Stefan Heller told me, and it actually makes the Elvis book that what's the difference between a mystic and a madman? A mystic knows whom not to tell. He knows when to keep his mouth shut. And as the famous, I think, Joseph Campbell quote says, the psychotic drowns where the mystic swims. And here we are, Stefan, trying to swim, knowing when to keep our mouth shut most of the time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. And this is also the bridge to Gnosticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm here on Eon by Gnostic Radio, and I love this radio station because I do a podcast in Germany on a radio station. It's called Radio Emergency, but it's mostly in German. Yeah. And it's not all Gnostic themes, but you are really one of my epitomes for doing this podcast over in Germany. So, and Gnosticism is also a topic which is so closely related to heretics. Yeah. And this is, I think, Gnosticism is the school of thought where you most clearly can see what hereticism is all about and why this age of Aquarius or this zeitgeist we are moving into will be so difficult for communities, for tribal living, for cities, whatever you will. Yeah. Because we are going into this age of individualism. And you see, heresy is also about individuation, about finding your own, basically becoming Lucifer or Christ, if you look from above or below, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Finding your holy angel or holy daimon. And you don't want to pray to anything else. Because I also come from ceremonial magic and telema, but I stopped it as I didn't want to pray to any external gods or entities anymore, right? And this is what Gnosticism is about, like really direct experience, knowing thyself, the Oracle of Delphi. And the challenge here is because these church fathers in their criticism of Gnosticism, not everything was wrong, right? Because they said, hey, the problem with Gnostics is that everybody of them basically wants to be their own guru with their own sect, their own cult. Right. Mm-hmm. And to me, this statement never was totally wrong. Yeah. Because there's some grain of truth to it. Yeah. Because you see, here alone in this community, Eon Byte, there are so many great individuals. You see, there's so much intelligence, and not only intelligence from the brain, but also empathy, whatever. But could we do some kind of movement? Yeah. I don't think so, because we are all too individualistic. Yeah. It would be very hard to come to a common ground, which is not totally trivial or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think there's the challenge moving into this age of Hermes, age of Aquarius, which is so individualistic, and human design describes it most perfect with this age of the sleeping phoenix, the phoenix awakens. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. But this is individual awakening. You see, when you're on ayahuasca, yeah, you had this great lady some days ago, which was really amazing. She had a great vibe. Huh? You really knew she, she was through these intense experiences of Iboga, what have you, right? And on this journey, you're totally alone. You always come to a point where, there can be some guides, but you come to this abyss and there you're totally on your own. And I think this is the big challenge here. Yeah.
Yeah. No, well said indeed. Yeah. The Gnostics did call themselves the generation without a king. They were accused of being, you know, crazy, self-centered. And of course, everything casts a shadow. There's always risks when you go inward. And even the term anarchism simply means without archons. That's what, without archons is a better world, but freedom has a price and freedom is dangerous. So that's the choice you have to make. And I agree with you. And yes, as we were talking the other day, this is beyond just the age of Aquarius, but you were talking about Pluto going into Aquarius, which means what? The old systems are going to fall apart, right? We are really in a new paradigm.
Oh, the old systems have already fallen apart. Because Pluto,
just look around.
Pluto just went through Capricorn, which are old systems. Yeah, Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008. There the subprime crisis started, which hit you, the most powerful economic power in the world. And there it started, and then the European Union got busted and immigration crisis and what have you. And now the old systems, like since 2008, they are basically dead, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows we are in the zombie economy and it's not different in the States or here over in Europe and Germany. It's just a zombie economy. It doesn't live, but it's still there, till whatever cataclysm will happen. And you see, when Pluto moves through a sign, every astrologer has his own heresy. But how I do understand it, and by the way, that's the great thing about design. Design is the original system where you have like a canon, where you say this is official. And astrology has so many schools that you really have to decide. But on Pluto, I'm pretty sure my interpretation is pretty close to what you might call truth. And when Pluto moves through a sign, he transforms the sign. So this is the special thing about Pluto. So when Pluto moves through Capricorn and now through Aquarius, he transforms every sign. And in human design, the signs are more differentiated into 64 gates. This is why design is much more focused on detail. So design is basically, if you really would look at the degrees in astrology, so very, very detailed, because it comes from the I Ching, which has this 64 hexagrams. And now when Pluto moves through Aquarius, which is the sign of individualism, Pluto will change this, and Pluto will stay there till 2044 or something.
Wow.
And with Aquarius, it's this zeitgeist, what I have just told a story about, the zeitgeist of individualism, the zeitgeist of communal support will fall away because everybody gets so self-centered on their personal script in this movie, in this game, that you're just too focused on your personal path to care for others or to really care like it was in the, like it might have been in the past. But the thing about Pluto is Pluto transforms the sign. Yeah. So let's see how individualism transforms, how we can still live together as a family of humankind, even so we get so individualistic, even so we get so sucked into these archonic mirrors, which are screens basically, right? Like obsidian mirrors. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets so sucked into this, yeah? Elon Musk and what have you. But Pluto will transform this. But you have to see the basic dynamic is we will get more individualistic. And the basic dynamic is also every society, every family, every nation, which doesn't have a really hard bond in its core, will just bust, will just disrupt. And the only thing Pluto really supports, because Pluto is also occultism, and Aquarius is also individualism and community. So you see, Aquarius is kind of this hermetic sign.
On the
one hand, because Aquarius is the 11th sign of the zodiac, and you start with Aries, which is most immature, and then Aquarius, you're almost at the end. You're almost at Pisces. So it's very mature. So it's very individual. But on the other hand, you know, hey, there has to be some way from humankind, right? So Pluto is occultism, Aquarius is community and individualism. And what you then have is secret societies. So what the zeitgeist supports is secret societies. Now till the 2040s, right? Because you know, most secret societies like the Golden Dawn, you can be very happy if they work for a decade even, right? Before, because it's too powerful. Yeah, it's not a problem. This is the thing of secret societies. You have so strong energies that it just disrupts at one point. And this is the one thing which Pluto and Aquarius will support. And about the other things, we will see. I really hope it goes in a good direction. But you also see, and to come to human design, this is not a system which looks through pink glasses, but it more or less sees a dark age coming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not totally apocalyptic, but more on the dark side. And if I'm really realistic about looking out in the world, this is also what I tend to see coming. That, you know, that the cataclysm lies before us, and there has to be some kind of purge, or however you will call it. And afterwards, if we survive, okay, maybe the golden age. But first, I think it will get hard.
I agree with you. And again, the solutions are the same. Go inward, lean into it, adapt, and you'll actually do well and come out the other side. I mean, this is the cycles of time. It's the old must end, and we are in a new age, the age of Hermes, as I like to call it. And the next question I had for you is, what would you advise to prepare for these shifts? I mean, you're obviously not in a bunker in the middle of a desert with your guns and all that.
Yeah, guns are not allowed in Germany.
Oh, okay. Well, you can, but you know, I'm saying you're not preparing for the apocalypse that they tell us on television, because of course they're feeding us all this stuff like Mad Max. And, you know, even in the United States, when people say, oh, we're going to have a divorce. People think we're going to be out there with muskets on the fields of Gettysburg. It's like, no, 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 this is going to be different and unique. And you just have to look for it. But what advice do you have for people to navigate these times?
Oh, really? Like, you know, with the community here, Eon Byte, everybody is so deep into esoterica. So they all know what to do. They all know that they can't just do what you have just that. And I can only repeat it. Like, look into yourself, finding your differentiation, your role in this movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if you would ask me what system is human design closest to, or what guru or teacher did it most rely on, then it has to be Georg Gurdjieff. Yeah, it really has to be Gurdjieff, because Gurdjieff already talked about strategy and authority. Gurdjieff already talked about witness consciousness. I mean, Osho did so as well, very, very much. But Gurdjieff described it in the most almost academic way, and Gurdjieff said, hey, and Gurdjieff is very hard to understand, but human design is also so detailed, so it's very close in a sense, and the only way is inward, because otherwise you can't go this way in the long run. You see why I don't worry is because I always have this perspective of into the eons, into eternity. And to come back to this brilliant book of Richard Smalley, Seven Games of Life. It was the last book I read, so I have to mention it.
Okay.
The last game of life is this master game. Yeah. And if you are in this master game, if you see what lies in the end, so really the Atman recognizing itself, really, you know, it might be thousands, even trillions of years till I become a Buddha. But it will happen at one point in time. And if once you go on this way, you have decided that, okay, all this other material reality, compared to this, the desire gets lost, the desire gets boring. So
at Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whatever, right? Then all these things are laughable. They lose importance. They are no longer important because you see you're in here for the long run and you might just be incarnated here in this. Okay, it's a very bad time, but I think if we have a video game, you could already say, okay, it could be much worse, right? You could directly incarnate in some kind of whatever prison. You also, I see so many people nowadays on the internet. I mean, you know, there are some better forums like the better subreddits and Quora where people really ask intelligent questions, partly. But there are also so many people, especially young ones, I think especially young men, and not so young, but maybe 30, 35, 38, whatever. And on these forums, they are telling, oh, I'm 28 now and I haven't made anything of my life. What should I do? And I'm just thinking, wow, if this guy would just know human design or astrology, he would see how young he is. Like what design basically wants to do and what all good systems, esoteric systems want to do is stop this burnout society. Yeah, stop this burnout society where you just turned 30. So you only had your Saturn return. So it's just the end of childhood. And you're already asking yourself, oh man, I have made nothing of my life because I see these fake stars who have gotten famous much too early and then kill themselves at 40 because they are totally on the wrong trajectory, right? And human design says it's very radical there that in the first half of your life, so before 40 till 45, before the Uranus opposition, you are breathing in, you are learning. And only at 40, 45, then you can start breathing out. Then you really have found yourself in this fractal of, okay, this is my part in the community. This is where I can mentor others, right? And this is also where I'm kind of humble because I know what people you know, and I also know, okay, I'm 34 now, but I also know, hey, I'm not even at Uranus opposition, so I'm still breathing in. Yeah, I started pretty early breathing in, but still, if I'm totally honest about myself, I know, hey, wow, Uranus opposition. When I start to breathe out, this will be great, but I'm still so young. And I'm seeing all these people like, oh man, I'm my mid-30s. I've made you didn't even have the chance to have a family or whatever. So how can you, or you haven't healed your core wound? Like the Chiron return is at 50. Mm. Before 50, and I see this in my readings, there's almost nobody who can really grasp his core wound because he hasn't even the experience. Yeah. To really look back on his life and see, okay, have I handled this differently now? So people want to avoid these limitations of cycles. And this is what astrology and human design tell you, yeah, teach you, that there's this limitation which Saturn and Uranus, especially the outer planets, give to us, yeah, these great cycles. And I don't really think you can get out of this. So this is where I know that many Gnostics will say, hey, and also these witches, right? They want to transcend all limitations because limitation is bad and I can invent myself. And quite frankly, I have to say that this is not my experience. Human design says the acceptance of limitation is the first step to transcendence. This is my experience that, you know, the transits of the moon, the transits of all the planets, this is the conditioning. But your birth chart, what the archons gave you at your birth in this game of duality, so your character, it has very specific talents. And if you don't have a voice like Elvis, it might be very difficult to become somebody like Elvis. Yeah. Right. Because you're so, and this is this limitation where I think it's strange. The acceptance of limitation can give you some kind of freedom. Yeah. And I think here in this duality, there is limitation. If we are talking about this other Advaita level, okay, different case. But here, acceptance of limitation is the first step to transcendence. To transcendence.
Beautifully said. Very inspirational. And yeah, we need great advice. And I mean, I know it was Jung who said, life doesn't start until after 40. Before that, you're just doing research. You're preparing. Yeah. You're doing what you need to do for your mission. And of course, it's different for everybody. Maybe you're mission might start at 50, 60. Maybe it'll start early at 30. But again, there is that part where you are waiting and emptying yourself and gaining the skills for your mission here, which is important. Everybody has equally important mission for the restoration, Sophia's rescue operation, for our society, for our community. So I would agree with you. We might want to step back for the uninitiated and for the newbie like me to see what, for those who want to know what exactly human design is, because you've talked about it. But first, a little housekeeping. I have a project I want to share with the world. So I'm going to do the share screen Where are you? Oh, StreamYard share screen. Where is the window? Okay, I hope you can see it. And yes, I don't really do crypto. I dabble in crypto, but I'm, again, almost a newbie. I accept crypto for donations for people who want to send it. That's the main thing. But I have started with a partnership on a new meme coin. Again, they are very hot right now. Crypto is extremely hot with the election and everything else. And this one is just not your regular meme coin. I joined this project because it has to do with Sophia, and it's a soul coin, and it's being launched this Friday, and I hope you guys can join it. We'll have a link on the show notes and all that for sure. And Sophia on Soul is just not another meme coin. It's a movement. It's really the first Gnostic coin. Dive into the arcane and explore the hidden mysteries of the universe with us. Sophia on Soul is the first and only meme coin of the Truther community. Join us to be part of the revolution. And here's the website. It's also on crypto. And check it out. Again, I wouldn't have joined unless something was extremely Gnostic, extremely honoring Sophia and all her wisdom, and of course something that will help us go get over the archons, if you would so check out Sophia on Soul. Again, I'll have it on the show notes. And again, like you're talking, Stefan, doing stuff that confuses the archons, it's on the niche that rides a wave but doesn't, and I think this is something that will certainly do it. So check out Sophia on Soul, and we'll start this. Sophia is in the crypto world officially. All hail wisdom. So now that I've said
this might really be the first meme coin I buy,
because this is really
Pluto and Aquarius. Pluto and Aquarius is also crypto. Like, crypto is ya basically financial secret society.
Exactly. So yeah, and I'm going in again. I dabble with crypto. I just use it for when people want to donate. But this is a project, like you said, Pluto. This is Pluto and Aquarius. This is anarchy at its best. So. But before that, we get into sort of the 101 of human design, just for those who are here who want to know. Graham, what do you think about what we're talking about? We're heading as humans. What say thouest?
Well, I think we're kind of heading over a cliff, but
that's it. Yeah, you're like, I'm out.
I came to that conclusion in 2020 with COVID. It's like we're being driven over, being driven over a cliff. A couple of thoughts on what we've been talking about is I see an inherent relationship between dogma and heresy. You're not going to have heresy until you have dogma. And the point in throwing out Gnosticism is it inherently directly connects the individual to God, bypassing things like, priests and bishops and all that. And if you're going to have a church hierarchy, you can't have people just jumping the ladder going to God directly. I was going to ask Stefan here if he had ever read Hermann Hesse's Das Glasperlenspiel, the glass bead game. If he hasn't, I think he would very much enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, of course I have read Hesse's Siddhartha and Damien and Steppenwolf. Actually, Glasperlenspiel, I have not read.
Same here. I've read all those except that one.
Yeah.
That's didn't even basically notice Hesse, but... that's his end, his end masterwork. That's the one he ended up winning the Nobel Prize for Literature for after that. Okay. So.
Oh.
Yeah, the last one is always the best one. It's like with Castaneda. You only have to read the last one, then it's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to quote Vanessa Williams just to piss people off. You save the best for last, but... excuse me. Somebody attacked me for daring to do that. Some Archon attacked me for quoting this. But no, we'll definitely check it out. Excuse me. Here's Stefan. tell us about human design and its origins. Most people think it's just a hodgepodge of different traditions thrown into one. Would they be right?
And I can totally understand this because, as I told you at the beginning, I also had so much resistance against it. It was like Osho at the beginning. Like, even before astrology, I started out with Osho. And I read this guy. And, you know, in my teenage days, because I told you I studied economics, really in my German teenage days, I read books of Donald Trump, yeah, and his philosophy of Norman Vincent Peale.
Yeah.
Think positive.
People forget Trump is the biggest New Ager manifester out there. That's how we got.
But it's this new thought stuff, right?
Yeah.
The stuff of your mind controls everything, and you have to control your mind. And this is why, in the meantime, I'm convinced that human design is superior to astrology, and that it will, yeah. I think in 20 years, more people are doing design than astrology. Because I see, at first, I also had resistance against human design, but there was so much synchronicity, Carl Gustav Jung, that I had to take it up, yeah, go to school, learn about it. And what human design does compared to astrology is, the problem with astrology is that astrology doesn't get you out of your head. I know many astrologers in Germany, yeah, people who have done astrology their whole life, but they are so mental, they are not embodied, they are not in their body, because it's just this academic science. You can really make a science out of astrology, yeah, and this is the problem, that these people don't seem centered. And what human design does is, it really gets you into this witness consciousness, yeah? Like, this was the whole target of Osho and Gurdjieff, to get people into this witness consciousness. And human design tells you individually, okay, this way for you would work best to get into witness consciousness, yeah? Because, you see, this is my personal heresy, because what you ask me is, hey, human design, it's just some hodgepodge, mambo jumbo, everything in one cauldron. It is a channel system. So Robert Allen Krakauer, a Canadian, he channeled the system. And this was also the reason why at first I said, okay, another one.
The stone tablets came from the sky or something.
Of course. And I think there are only a few channelings which are really of worth. Huh? Like, even with Crowley, I think the man is, yeah, I'm like Milo Duquette, I think. You don't want to know him personally, but he did some great work.
Yeah, you and don't want to go to dinner
as well
with him.
As a magician. And the Book of the Law is just the most beautiful invocation we have. It just has so much power, yeah? Aside from the information there, but it's just the beauty of the text. And so, like, this channeling, which Alan Krakauer received, it's so incredibly detailed. Like, you experience just convinced me. And then, because I had so much resistance, and this is also personal heresy, I asked my tarot like 1,000 times about human design. I asked my tarot, like, what is this? What entity was this? What he was channeling? I mean, could have been the devil or whatever, or some demon. And the tarot always showed me two things. It showed me the high priestess, yeah? Mostly the high priestess, yeah? So, and this is why I think human design, you can make the connection to Gnosticism, because the highest goddess, Barbelo, or Sophia, Gnosticism, yeah, she's basically, what is she in the most abstract form? For me, she is just the form principle. She's the principle of form. She's this yin force in the universe, yeah? This yin force. So how does duality get created? And human design, The founder, Alan Krakauer, he only called it human design so people would understand. But it's basically the design of forms, of plants, of animals, of immaterial objects, and then of humans. Yeah. But it's basically how forms are designed, how forms do work. And this is what Sophia is for me. So the only explanation for me, how he could get so detailed knowledge about how these archetypes here work is, okay, it must have been some part of Sophia, of the higher wisdom, of the higher feminine wisdom, mm-hmm. yeah, which comes from Gaia. So he would more be on the side of Sophia equals Gaia, right?
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And the other thing my tarot showed me, by the way, was the tower. So the high priestess and the tower, yeah. And this is something I didn't understand until I was in design 6 or 7 years, because this is a force of a Saturn cycle. Like, then you're really deconditioned, they say. Yeah. And the tower for me always was like, okay, maybe the system is Martian, or it's not good, or whatever. And then I understood, okay, human design wants to lead you to your inner authority. And this inner authority can be very, this is where the male part, the Martian part comes into this. And also Sophia, because we have this image of Sophia, like of angels, of this holy whatever. But you also know, yeah, you can also describe the goddess as Ashira, yeah, or as Segmet.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's also very furious. So she has this, yeah, characteristics of the tower of mm-hmm. Mars, even, yeah, these characteristics of Horus. So it's always both. So it's the description of the form principle. But if you start to live from your own authority, yeah, like for me, it's this pulse of my emotional wave, then you get very, very radical about the people you let into your life. Yeah, you get very radical on this path of individuation, but you get closer to the people who are really on your fractal. You get closer to the people who are really your soul tribe or what have you, right? But basically, I can tell you, it only convinced me through doing first readings of myself, my family, because the family you know best, right?
Right.
And if it's so detailed on your family, you say, hey, and then you experience it every day. And I always have this skepticism in me about confirmation bias. You always have to have it, but it convinced me otherwise. And this is how I get into the whirlwind of human design.
So what steps did you take? I mean, obviously human design has the, what, five distinct human design types: manifestor, generator, manifesting generator, projector, reflectors. There's element types. There's a lot, but the climax, the centerpiece is the chart. Is that what you create? Is that what takes you on the journey, or tell us more?
Oh, yeah. It's basically like if you show somebody a horoscope, yeah. I mean, in a moment, we can look at the current chart, for example. So at a child who might have been born just now, just today, on the 25th of November. And like a horoscope, you have all these houses and sun sign. The sun sign is just one part, and you have this very abstract picture, right, which you can't interpret at the beginning. But what you do as a reader is you really contemplate the thing, and after contemplating it for some time, yeah, looking at it, then looking away, doing something else, after some time, you really get the alchemy about what is the individual key for this person. So design is much about keywording, because you see, design is also called really the selfish way to enlightenment, because it says, and I'm so happy you mentioned Sege Jung, design says the era of gurus is at an ending. Yeah. Because people see that this guru stuff doesn't work, because gurus only tell you their own personal story of success. Like Osho tells you about all his experiments of swimming through rivers and close to some kind of whirlwind or whatever, because he has this channel of initiation, which is basically all about all extremes. Yeah, I just want to live through all extremes, right. But all his friends might have died. Yeah, you look at Ramana, the great saint from Arunachala. Ramana only sat there in his peace. Yeah, he was basically the mountain and him, they were one. And you look at his design and you see, okay, he just has the mountain gate is basically like four or five times into sun and what have you. So it's, he couldn't do any else. He just had this presence of, hey, relaxation, stillness. Yeah. But does it work for anybody else? I don't think so. Yeah. You look at Eckhart Tolle. He has all these channels who keep you totally in the now and who are totally about letting go. So of course this guy can let go, but can I let go? So for me, I also have many of these mountain gates. So I can sit in silence for hours. But for others, I would say it's even totally unhealthy. They should go to nature and go to the forest or do sports or whatever. Sure. Yeah. So I think this age of gurus is ending, because with every guru, if you have Krishnamurti or Osho or even Gurdjieff, yeah, he had great students, but I don't think anybody of them has reached this master level or what you will call it, because they can just tell their personal story. And this is the problem here. And people are beginning to see this more and more, that I don't want to follow somebody's personal story, personal success story about what has worked for him. Like even Trump and Tony Robbins and all these positive thinking guys, which I really despise, to be honest. Yeah. It might have worked for them. Okay. Yeah. It might have worked for them to control the mind, because Miguel, you and me, I saw your chart. We have an open mind. Mm. Human design is basically about what chakras, because the chakra system is also implemented into it. What chakras are defined? So there you have consistent energy, and what chakras are open. And open is not bad. It just means you're very receptive there. So you're receptive to all the thoughts and ideas and whatever is in the Akasha Chronic flowing around, right? So we are like this cauldron, which is so receptive for every idea and every dogma and every belief flying around. But if we try to find security up in our mind, it just leads to more confusion. Because our security comes deep from the root, from the sacral, from the solar plexus, yeah? But not from our mind. And I think somebody like Tony Robbins, I'm sure he has a defined mind and a defined will center. So he has much willpower. And for him, controlling the mind works. Mm-hmm. But if we force ourselves to control our mind, yeah, with a horoscope, a design like this, it's like if we force somebody with attention deficit disorder to sit in silence. Nah. It's just torture. And also all this attention deficit stuff. And so it's, for me, it's just people not living their design, not living their individuality, being forced into something which doesn't work. Because like the cancer on this planet is homogenization, yeah, conditioning. Yep. Mm-hmm. And this is why we are agnostics, why we are heretics. Because we don't accept this, yeah?
Oh, I love it. So basically, human design allows you to find your soul journey or path, your exact where you need to be, what you need to use, all that, because we're all different. That's why it's superior, because it's telling you what you need that only works for you. Gee, how novel. Why didn't anybody think of that in thousands of years?
They have thought about it. It's astrology, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with astrology is just that astrology is much more abstract. Mm. So astrology gives you this nice story about, hey, you're Virgo ascendant with Aquarius moon. So, and you can just tell this nice stories about what god or goddess you might be, or how you generally live your life, or what have you. But it doesn't give you a real pragmatic key for, hey, how should you make decisions? Yeah. For a Libra, you can basically say, yeah, okay, you're just, you can't make a decision. You're just always on this. The Libra is never perfectly balanced. Yeah. Like me. And human design told me, hey, your authority is emotional. So wait for emotional clarity. And it takes as long as it takes. And this works every time. And it eliminates resistance. It gets you back into the flow. Yeah. So human design is just much more pragmatic than astrology. But astrologers have, like, this was the first breakthrough for me. Getting away from gurus, getting through astrology. Mm-hmm. First understanding, okay, this is an individualistic journey where only I have the key for myself. But the keys of others do not work, of course. And like you say, Miguel, it's so obvious that it's almost, you see how big this homogenization field is, right? Mm-hmm. That you can even fall for this trap, because it's so obvious that you have to see the setup of the other person who wants to teach you. You have to see the setup of Tony Robbins to see if the system can really work for me, or if this is something which will only work for him, because he is just the willpower dude who will just push through, even so it makes no fun. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's pull up the chart. Before we do that, let's bring in Graham. Graham, do you have a question or remark about human design?
Yeah, I was curious. Does it predict which Hogwarts house you belong to?
Oh, yeah. Gryffindor?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Hufflepuff. I was also going to throw in that, you know, if you read closely, Buddha never really wanted to be a guru. He told people, don't write down my words. It was after he was dead that they decided to turn him into one. Tag.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You can say the same thing about Jesus. Jesus never wrote anything down in any tradition. He was...
Yeah, and then it always gets diluted. But it's a hard question. I think they were the right persons or avatars for the time, right? Mm-hmm. Especially phenomena like Jesus Christ or Buddha. I think they were just the zeitgeist incarnated at just the right moment to give the whole of humanity some shift. Mm-hmm. And human design says the point where Uranus got discovered, where Uranus started to get influence on humanity, there our system changed. Now we are nine-centered beings. So much of the old yoga schools don't work anymore. And I get closer and closer to the conclusion that this might be true. That there is some truth in ancient systems, but you always have to go with the zeitgeist, really, to see what works now. Or what kind of Buddha, what kind of avatar should incarnate now? And it would be a totally different quality. It would be more of an Aquarian, unique quality. Somebody preaching individualism or what have you. Yeah. And by the way, C.G. Jung also said, like, he could have been a guru and he didn't, right?
Yeah, he so said he it. Knew. I could have been the leader of a religious movement that I wanted to. And he decided, no, I'd rather just write down information and study it. Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.